Good evening, everyone. A quick disclaimer before we begin. As with most people these days, we are working from home. Those of us with kids, sometimes our meetings are interrupted by the joyous sounds of our young. Those of us in the podcast world are no different. So, during tonight's episode, you may hear a screaming small person in the background. Please know that neither Brandon nor I are screaming about the Capitals as of late. It's just my annoying, loud toddler. With that said, on with the show.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Now, we always say the show is about the 2018 Stanley Cup champions, but this week, this Washington Capitals team is anything but a Stanley Cup championship team. This is not a good team. I think Coach Dan might have to talk me off the ledge this week because, man, this has been really tough to watch. These Caps games, these guys just kind of suck. Can we say that? Is that rude?
It's a little harsh.
Yeah, Coach Dan joining me as always. What's going on, Coach? What are your thoughts on what we saw this past week? I mean, these games, I've reached for that remote and I've wanted to switch the channel a couple times.
I mean, the Buffalo game, that was a good one. I thought they played. I mean, given they're playing Buffalo, so if they lost that game, that would have been rather telling. But they were able to come out with a solid victory there. And then, unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the Rangers game, but I did not hear many, if any, good things about that one. And then they had to do the comeback against the Devils, and then they had a decent-ish game against Pittsburgh, but you never really felt like they really had control.
I mean, you're going to be nice there talking about the Penguins game because the Caps were never in control. They looked sluggish the entire time. That first period, they were losing every kind of battle. Didn't matter if it was against the boards, if it was at center ice, anything going on, you know, it just didn't work out. They didn't look good.
No, and I'm not quite sure what to attribute it to. I mean, you look at this roster, and there's a decent amount of turnover. I mean, if you go and you look, especially on the defense from the past couple of seasons, and you have a decent amount of new forwards in there, like Sheary and Ponick, since he didn't play much of last season. I guess Hathaway was here, Dowd's here, Sprong, not really. Haglund was in and out. So it's more the defense than the offense. But either way, there's not a lot of consistency, I feel like, with this team right now, especially in the way that they're playing. And I think some of that can be attributed to the coaching staff. I think Laviolette constantly changing the lines is definitely not helping.
You know, that lineup again with the Penguins game.
Why was Eller on the first line?
We have never seen that before. This was kind of we're going to throw a bunch of lines at a wall, see what sticks and what works.
We did see Eller on the first line for a moment before he got injured. Or was it the other way around? When Backstrom got hurt. When Dowd ended up as the first line in the, I don't remember who they beat. But this is a team right now that, I mean, is Laviolette just throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what works? I don't know. But the fact that he's constantly changing the lines is a problem. At least in my mind. I could be wrong. Maybe it'll work, you know, but it's not right now. And you're seeing these things happening. And it gives the team no time to develop chemistry. There's no consistency. There's no opportunities for them to really get to know sort of how their teammates are going to play. And I know it's probably even harder now considering COVID and a lot of the restrictions and practices. I mean, I know coaches aren't allowed to necessarily have that same kind of opportunity to talk to their players. I mean, they're not allowed to have meetings in the locker room, which is why Laviolette got caught cursing up a storm at practice the other day when the guys weren't giving it as much as he thought they should have. And I want to see a set lineup, at least for a couple of games, to see if something's going to work, but constantly just like mixing it up and seeing what's going to happen. That's not really, to me, that's not really like coaching. That's just guessing.
Now, I mean, this is, we're living in a different world than we did, you know, this time last year. So it's, I want to give like Laviolette the benefit of the doubt. Like, I almost want to give him a pass this entire season because he is under such restrictions. This is a new team. This is, you know, these guys have to learn his system. He has to learn the capital system. He has to, you know, kind of figure out what works, what doesn't. We've said this. I mean, this is like we're beating a dead horse at this point. No training camp, you know, no preseason games, nothing. So these guys have not been able to get acclimated to the coach, vice versa. He's still figuring out who works best with whom. Like, it's other teams are seem to be doing okay with that. But for whatever reason, it's this team is having a really hard time with it. And I think the fact that they're playing in front of no one is really affecting them. I mean, look at what happened in the bubble in, what was it? Was it July, August, when they got into the Stanley Cup playoff tournament? You know, these guys, everyone said these guys didn't adjust well to the bubble, and they didn't. They were out. I mean, they barely looked alive. They barely won a game. So it's, I don't know the answer. I don't know how to fix it. Laviolette's a good coach. I mean, you said it when he got hired. Everywhere he's gone improved while he was there. So I don't want to give this guy like, oh, you know, let's throw him out the door already. I'm not saying that, but it's so difficult to watch this team that, you know, has so much talent everywhere, really. I mean, on the offense, on the defense, Laviolette's a good coach. We know that. But to see them just all of them just kind of squander right now, it's really difficult to watch as a fan because you've seen better. You know all of the talent that everybody on this team has. You know that something should be magical here, and it's just not there.
So the thing that bothers me a little bit is that there's two consistent factors with this team from the past few years where they've struggled. There's a number of the players, and now given a number of those players also played on the Stanley Cup winning team, and there's a couple of the assistant coaches have stuck around. So one of those two things is likely causing a problem. Now, the coaches are easier to get rid of because you just move them on, pay them out, whatever it might be, and bring in different coaches, assuming someone's available. The other option is to make a trade or make a few trades. Maybe for the Capitals, maybe they need to do both. You know, you have consistently inconsistent players that don't live up to the expectations or the money they're making, and maybe you need to move these guys on because it's just not working. But you have a team with this kind of talent that has a negative goal differential of -3. That's unacceptable. Yeah. When you have Hall of Fame talented players in Backstrom and Ovechkin, who are scoring, by the way. Ovechkin's got 15 points in 14 games. Backstrom's got 22 points in 18 games. You got Tom Wilson, 13 points in 16 games. These guys are producing. Even Vrana's got 11 in 17. You'd like to see a little bit more from him. But we already know he's a streaky player. He's a better version.
It seems
of,
like the line that Laviolette has made up of with Verana on it, it seems to have improved his game. So it seems like that line, at least right now, is finding its groove.
Yeah, but what's going to happen when he wants to switch it up again? You know, if the other lines aren't working, is he going to mess with that one?
Right.
So it's frustrating because there are a lot of... There's a lot of the consistencies that we've seen. You know, we've seen this team has struggled to the Capitals itself, going back even to the 90s, where they've had slow starts. But we've seen the same problem over and over with this team right now. You know, they need to. I think something needs to be done. Obviously, I mean that's a given because they're not playing well. But I think it needs to be something bigger than just shifting the lines around. I think they need, whether it's a new voice or a new body in the locker room, and that's not saying they need like veteran leadership. Like they have plenty of that. Or at least they should. But they need something different to shake them up a bit. And it's not like... I'm trying to think of how you compare this to like another sport where you put someone else in. Like, I don't know, football. You start someone different to shake the team up. Or in I don't know. I kind of lost track of where I was, how I was going to pull that. Usually it's like in hockey, they switch out the goalie, but I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's Vanacek's fault. I think he's being overworked a bit right now because they don't necessarily trust Craig Anderson. And though he got the win against the Devils. And Samsonov, who's playing, right, I believe, right now in Hershey, but he's going to get, you know, his opportunity in the NHL very soon. That's going to help the team, but I still think they need to make a move.
So I do want to bring up Samsonov real quick. Now, obviously, we're, you know, no one is mad at him for getting COVID or anything like that.
I am. How dare you? I'm just kidding. That's awful. I was joking.
Nobody's mad at Samsonov for getting COVID and getting sick. I mean, it's the world we live in right now. It's unfortunate that that is around. But are you a little shocked that he's still in Hershey? I mean, we were talking at the end of last show that him and Vitek would probably split the shifts and he'd get two games and Vitek would get two games. And we still haven't seen him at all. I mean, what does that say about his conditioning right now that he's still in Hershey? It's kind of sad because maybe COVID, you know, really did a number on this guy and he's still having, you know, like the breathing issues and the lung issues that COVID brings with that disease.
I don't know if I would go. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I can't say as to whether that's the issue. I think this would be tonight his third game back, right? He had lost the win. They brought him up, activated him off the taxi squad, then put him back on the taxi squad, then sent him down. Which I have to imagine a number of those are just like cap-related moves. But no, I don't have a problem with him playing one more. I think they even said, I think it was Laviolette said earlier this week that he's likely going to go play one more in Hershey. And I think that makes sense. You know, he hasn't played in a long time. He did have the issues with COVID. We don't know how much that may have done to his body. So letting him get back into shape while we have Vanacek, who's playing, I mean, better than anybody expected, even if he struggles with some aspects. He's playing better than any of us expected him to play, except for maybe you. You've been on the Vanacek bandwagon for a while now, as he nods.
I have been. I mean, it's been years. He was in South Carolina, and I'm like, this guy's, if he's not going to be an NHL
he's the
goalie
next
for
Greg
us,
Fuhrer.
he's going to be some trade bait. I mean, this guy's definitely valuable to the system no matter what.
Move over, Don Beaupre. No, I think if it's too early. I was going to say, like, Vanacek definitely could be trade bait or Samsonov, but I don't anticipate that being the case. I think Samsonov is going to end up being the starter. Vanacek will be the guy that they trade out, a la Grubauer, Neuwirth, Varlamov, so on and so forth. So, you know, I don't have a problem with Samsonov playing another game in Hershey. He's getting his minutes. He's getting back into shape. Spoiler alert for a little bit later in the show, but they play again on Friday. Part of me would not be surprised if he plays that game and then comes down to the Caps. Just let him get some extra minutes. You know, Vanacek or even Anderson playing one more game. I have to imagine it's going to be Vanacek. I don't think it's the end of the world.
I mean, I as a Ravens fan, you can listen to my Ravens podcast, The Call. You know, Lamar Jackson, he got COVID, and then the next game he's back is up against the Cleveland Browns, and he had to leave the game, you know, in the fourth quarter because some people said he had to go to the bathroom. He said he had cramps in his legs, and he had to get, like, an IV to kind of get the blood flowing again. And
now he's had a drop of deuce.
That was a side effect of COVID, some are saying. So, I mean, it's we don't know. Again, COVID is taking over the world, and we're figuring it out as we go. It's, you know, we don't know anything about this. It affects people very differently. So this might just be a conditioning thing. I don't know if you saw it, but Kuzi even talked about it in a Russian interview that he had a really hard time coming back. And it was like, I think the first practice he had, it said it felt like he had taken the entire summer off and it was his first training camp session back on the ice was his first game. And he's like, he couldn't catch his breath. Some wrestlers I know that have had COVID on AEW, the one guy said he had it in September. And that just a couple weeks ago, he finally was able to do the amount of cardio he was doing before he got sick. So, I mean, what is that, September to February? He wasn't right. So
yeah, some people get messed up pretty bad with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's affects people very differently, and I think we're kind of seeing that with Samsonov. It might be a little bit worse than, you know, we've seen in the past from other players around the league.
It could be. I mean, that could explain Kuznetsov's struggles to start this season. I mean, I think we definitely expected better from him. He's never been the best in the faceoffs. He's always had below 50%, I think, pretty much throughout his career. But the fact that he is currently, I'm not even counting, but way down in the scoring sheet. I mean, in 10 games, he's got 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists. You'd like to see that better from him. Maybe that is part of the issue. Maybe is that he's still working his way back. So maybe you give him a little bit more time. But I know he's someone that, you know, people are starting to talk about in terms of fans, at least.
Right.
That they're not overly thrilled with how he's been playing. And, you know, it's been going on, you know, last season there were questions about his, not to do the old Alex Semin trope, but like his, how much he cared. You know, and I don't think that's fair necessarily. I do think he cares. I just think he's not necessarily the type of player that's going to go out and put the team on his back. But I think after what he showed in the cup run, the expectations are now higher because you've shown right. You can do that. So you need to be consistent. But you make a very good point with COVID. Maybe it did kind of make it harder for him, and maybe he's still working his way back. So I don't know. Or maybe he'll end up being a trade bait to somebody else.
You know, that's just, as a podcaster, that's something that I just have such a hard time doing. Like, I did say, like,
trading him?
No, I'm just saying, like,
I don't know, man. That's a big amount of cap space you'd be freeing up.
I mean,
depending on what you get back.
Yeah.
You have to get a center.
I'd hate to see him just go like when his contract's done and then just, you know, hit the road and then we get nothing back.
No, he's got like, I don't know how many, but I think he's got a ton of years left.
But like, it's hard for me to come on here and like, yeah, I'll say like, yeah, this, you know, this team kind of sucks this week. But yeah, in the back of my mind, I'm also going, all right, it's also 2021 and we're all dealing with COVID and, some players had it and, you know, maybe they're not in, you know, peak form right now because COVID's affecting
people.
Yeah,
that doesn't explain Kuznetsov last year playing relatively the same way.
That's true, yeah.
So he's got 4 more years left on his deal after this. This is interesting. I think Cap Friendly added a percentage of each player's effect on the overall cap ceiling for each team or cap space that they've taken up. I don't know. Yeah. I'm guessing more the space they've taken up. Kuznetsov takes up just over 9.5%. That's just, I don't know, fun fact. Would you like to guess how much Ovechkin takes up?
Oh, how much?
11.7%. 65%, almost 66% is in forwards. Almost 32% is defense. And then 1.7% is the goalies. But when you have goalies both under 725,000, you're not spending a lot. That's going to change because that includes Anderson. Samsonov's not even on that list. Where did he go?
Well, he's not on the team right now, right?
Yeah, I was like, well, I couldn't find him on the thing. He's 925, so even then, it's not that high.
Now, one guy we do have to bring up who's looked pretty good is Connor Sheary. He's kind of come into his own the last couple games. He's been able to get goals. He's, I think, Laviolette's kind of taken notice and given him a little bit more responsibilities. And I think Connor Sheary's kind of showing, like, you know, he's a real deal right now.
So he's got, I just had it open, 6 points in 15 games. 5 of those 6 are goals. He's got 3 goals in his last 5 games. Looking at his information on the Caps website, he's playing well. And, you know, I was talking before about needing a different show, not this show, more secondary scoring that this team needs. And he stepped up. Unfortunately, he appears to be the only one at the moment stepping up and providing secondary scoring because we're not getting a lot from Eller, from Ponik. You know, Kuznetsov shouldn't be secondary scoring. He should be primary scoring. We're not getting it.
Ponik did get one against the Penguins, though.
Yeah, one.
He got one.
That's one of his 2. So in 18 games, dude scored 2 goals and 4 assists. Not even close to enough.
No.
That's a big problem. Hagelin's got 2 points in 18 games. He's good on the PK, but you got 2 more years at 2.75. You need to give me more points or buy.
Yeah, Hagelin, I don't know what happened to him. He's a guy that came in here, I mean, mid-season a couple years ago, and we were all excited to see him, and I love that they
re-signed him, and then he's completely fallen off.
Yeah,
now,
he's not a good
it probably
season.
Doesn't help that they keep moving the lines around.
Right.
A little consistency could help him, but I think they need to look at this roster, look at the cap problems that they're going to run into, and that limits your ability to bring in someone that could provide more help. So you have to move out someone that costs enough. So you have that space, even though when you bring in someone later in the season, the cap hit is not actually as high as it was at the beginning of the season, because as the season blah, 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 blah. I'll say season more times in one sentence. So, but to be able to bring someone in, you have to move out someone of value because you don't have the space available. Is Hagelin doing any worse than any of the guys that are not playing? Can any of these other guys, like Sprong or Pinho, can they do the same stuff that Hagelin is doing for Daniel Carr for the fraction of the cost? I don't know. But if I'm the general manager, I'm Laviolette, I'm looking at that. Now, I don't know if they can find someone that'll take on Hagelin's contract. He's got two more years at 2.75. Maybe they will. But if they can and free up some space, they can take Ponick with them.
One more thing we got to talk about before we get out of Caps World. We got to talk about the retro reverse jerseys, the sweaters, finally debuted on the ice. I got to say, I really liked seeing those sweaters back on the ice at the Capital One Arena. That was pretty great. And I thought they looked real sharp. I didn't actually notice the back until I saw you tweeting with somebody yesterday and realizing the numbers go over like where the blue and the red.
Yeah, the old jerseys used to do that too.
I didn't see that until someone brought it up, and now that's all I can see.
That was my friend Adam. Text was always a bit funky, but I like it. When I saw it, I was like, oh, I do miss the old jerseys. I still think that the Stars Capital Dome logo makes a better primary logo and a better center middle of the jersey logo, and the Eagle, Screaming Eagle, makes a better one on the shoulders. Similar to like the script logo for the Capitals, and then the Weagle looks better on the shoulders.
Right.
And then the blue jerseys, the W, I just think is a better secondary or third logo for the team. Like, if they want to keep that around as a third logo, I'm down for that.
You know what I like the best this year? Like, I will admit I do like the third blues more than the reverse retros. But you know what I really like this entire season? I like the pants that they're wearing. The simple blue and then the subtle three stars at the bottom.
Those are nice.
Yeah, I like that. Like, I'm kind of thinking, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have that, like the three stars and then the two lines for the DC flag on the front and then the W on the shoulder for like a blue third jersey?
I want for the blue, if they're asking, and they should.
If they're like, listening.
Yeah, no, we know they're listening. Don't worry. The blue, the front should have the team name just in the script again. Not the Caps from the stupid game in Annapolis. That jersey's terrible.
Stop it.
The have Capitals written across the script logo and then the W. I'd be fine with that. Or the Weagle. I think the Weagle will look silly.
I don't know.
Or honestly, you could go with the Screaming Eagle one on that. That could look nice. But the W just like it looks weird. Like, it looks just kind of like it shouldn't. I don't know. It just looks very weird to me.
I like it. I like it. It's my favorite jersey. Right up there with that.
Wait, you like the blue one more than the reverse retro?
I do. Yeah.
Oh,
I do.
I would keep the reverse retros. I personally would go back to the vintage ones and just stick with those reds and whites. But they're not going to do that. So I would go with the reverse retro versus the blues. Honestly, I keep both.
Well, yeah, I would keep the blues as a primary, use the reverse retro as the new third jersey.
That's Wait, you're getting rid do. Of the current reds?
Yes.
You know what? To be fair, they don't do the Rock the Red gimmick or slogan anymore. Now it's all caps, which somehow is terrible.
I hate that, yeah. But, I mean, the reds have...
It's not even clever.
Yeah, the reds have, you know, they've enjoyed their time in the spotlight. They've had their time. Let's move on.
Well, okay, so to an extent, you know, the classic teams have always had the same, essentially, same logos, same jerseys with minor changes. So I'm okay with them keeping the script and keeping a red. But having a blue third, you know, is nice. I would actually take the blues. I still think you need that red on the shoulders with a white outline. I think that would make it better. But either way, take that, put it, you know, reverse the logos or colors so those are all in red with the script. And then you have the blue with the colors reversed, script, and the W logo on the shoulders. There you go. There's your third jersey. And the reverse retros can be like a special fourth.
Right. I like that. Ben Raby, though, he brought this up. He tweeted this out yesterday. Said, all caps sporting the Screaming Eagle logo for the first time since April 4th, 2007 in Atlanta. The last player to score a goal for the Capitals with that logo? of course, it was Ovechkin.
Well, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I still think we need to go back and put the Capitol Dome on the front. But yeah, I don't know. That was even, you know, when they played in those jerseys, I always thought the Capitol Dome logo, for me, I always thought was better. A better primary logo than the Screaming Eagle.
Yeah. All right, well, anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
Should we do an eBay check to see how much those jerseys cost now?
I sent you one of the W blue jerseys, and I thought it was hilarious because whoever is selling it put Wilson's name upside down.
God, you can always find crap jerseys on eBay. But oh, hey, there's only one, adult large, 52. I thought the largest were 48, and 46 is a medium, or is 46 small? What does the jersey you're wearing say?
Well, this one I think was like a 2X, so I don't know.
Oh, all right. Either way, that's only
I got a lot
bucks.
Of hair. I can't tell.
That's allegedly a hundred. Oh, this one also says 52 large. I may have had it wrong. I think 42 might be small. Or 46. Sorry. Anyways, there's one here. Tom Wilson for $99. That's probably a knockoff.
Yeah.
Let's see. This one, Ovechkin, $339. $15.50 for shipping, of course. Okay, this one says $60. I call BS. Just bull crap. There's no way someone is selling that. I'm looking at it now. Hold on. $60. Actually, it doesn't look terrible. Let me send this to you. I'm not buying it because I don't want a Wilson jersey. But.
Hater.
No, he's fine. He just needs to not hit people inappropriately.
He had a good hit in against what Pittsburgh player was that yesterday? It was a good hit.
Other problem is that I usually am a medium in jerseys, not a large.
Hashtag.
I don't like them being real baggy.
Yeah. Yeah, this one I'm wearing is very baggy right now. Ooh, I like that.
There's got to be a trick or a trap somewhere. Because every other one is like $1 billion.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's not real. It's coming from New York, though. It's not coming from overseas, so that's interesting.
Yeah, all those jerseys probably got bought by people who just wanted to sell them. It's annoying. Anyways, that's probably it for Caps World.
I'm going to watch this one just for fun.
You're going to buy it, aren't you?
Add to watch list. I already bought a Willy Baby jersey. So
they got the Blues Ovechkin for $170 on Monumental Sports Network store.
Too much.
Oh, $150 for an Ovechkin Fanatics branded Alex Ovechkin Red Washington Capitals Special Edition jersey. Oh, that's a women's. 100% missed that the first go round. Sorry, everybody.
All right. Is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, I think that's it this week. I don't think they're going to make a trade, but I also wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think, not to harp on it anymore, but I do think something needs to be done.
Something's got to give. And I mean, we've got a new coach, but we're having the same issues we had with
Reardon.
So, I mean, maybe it's not a coaching issue, or maybe it's the assistant coaches that have stuck around. Who knows?
Maybe it's all of the above.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, like, they're still second in the East. I mean, there's only 6 points separating them from not being in the playoffs. But, like, we're complaining and doing all this. But right now, if the season were to end abruptly or get paused like it did last year and it got picked up as a playoff or a Stanley Cup tournament, they would be in it. So it's kind of crazy to say that.
But we're so negative. I mean, I think because
they're still not playing well.
That's true. Our expectations are higher, and they're not. They're better than they are playing. That's the big problem. And
yes,
it's very
they are 100% better.
Yeah, and it's easy to see. And the fact that it's not happening is the biggest issue.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Sorry if we were a bummer this week, guys. I really am, but
blame the Caps.
It's a therapy session here with me and Coach Dan, so we're just talking our way through it. All right, guys, that's it for Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We're talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
In the past week, Hershey went 2-0 with wins over Binghamton and the Baby Pens. They're currently tied for first in the North Division with 8 points. Now, they're playing as we speak in Wilkes-Barre. Then are they in Wilkes-Barre or are they in Scranton?
They're just right next to each other, so
I don't know. Who cares? After they play wherever they are, then they'll head to Binghamton for a home-and-home starting on Friday on the road.
Picking another up some of that paper from Dunder Mifflin.
It may be. There's a store, I believe, up there that is all about the office.
Oh, they have convention. Well, they used to before COVID, but they have conventions. They've got, you know, the Scranton welcomes you sign is somewhere. They've got a whole office tour where you can visit like Poor Richards and all the other places that have been name dropped in the show. Tried to get she wasn't a girlfriend, but I was trying to get a old friend to go with me to Scranton a couple summers ago, and she didn't want to because we were both big Office fans. But I tried.
One day maybe you'll get to go.
It's not that far away. It's like 3 hours.
If the world ever opens up again.
Yeah, we'll see.
In other Bears news, shout out to Caps prospect Connor McMichael for getting his first professional hat trick in the win over the Baby Pens. I know the third one was an empty netter, which Brandon thinks means it doesn't count. Hat trick is a hat trick. Don't take it away from the kid. Maybe that's a move. I'm not trying to say that like the Caps need to bring him up and everything's going to be okay, but can he perform? I mean, based on what we saw in his one game, no. But, you know, give him a couple more games in Hershey, starts to get that confidence in, and then maybe comes to the Caps, well, he's better. I don't know.
It's a good idea to have him in Hershey right now, though, because if he was just sitting on the taxi squad, he'd be sitting around doing nothing. He's at least getting some ice time right now, honing those skills a little bit.
Yeah, let him keep playing, keep building that confidence, building his professional skills, and bring him up when he's ready. The Bears also announced that they will begin allowing fans to attend games. Now, I didn't see how many fans were going to get to come, but it certainly seems like they have a lot of cleaning protocols in place. Obviously, everyone's going to have to be wearing masks and a certain type of mask. They have to fully cover the nose and mouth, though we all know that at this point. Fit snugly and comfortably against the side of the face, secured with ties or ear loops, and be made of breathable material. Because if you're wearing a mask that isn't breathable, that's a problem. Let's see, temperature screenings and social distancing. Their team members are getting trained. Limited number of tickets. Guests must be over the age of 2 because the CDC said, anyone over the age of 2 should be wearing a mask, or 2 and older, I should say.
I think it was that you had to buy a seat because like if you have like a baby with you, normally you just, you know, sit the kid on your lap.
Yes, but every kid must have a ticket.
Yeah.
And they will be sanitizing high-touch areas frequently and add sanitizing stations throughout the Giant Center.
So it seems like they're taking the correct kind of protocols to open this up to fans. It's still kind of – I'm still wary of that. But it seems it seems like they are taking the right precautions, though. It's a step in the right direction.
I'm not going
because
I'm bad luck, but I'm still not going because of COVID. Another Hershey news, there's a new team in the land of chocolate bars and roller coasters. As the Bruce Boudreau-owned Hershey Cubs Hockey Club will begin play in the USPHL in 2021 at Hershey Park Arena. I want a shirt.
Yeah, I got to say, they released their 3 logos, and I'm down. I like this. It's 3 logos. It's the bear.
I saw the little cute bear. Although the halo thing, I get it, but it's kind of silly.
Yeah, so there's the bear head with the halo over it. It's the bear body with the halo over it. And then it's the HB or HC logo.
The HC logo is nice. I don't see.
You didn't see the full body shot?
Oh, okay. It's the bear's head with the thing. Okay, no, that was one I missed. I like it. I think it's cool. I want one with the text logo.
So I got to ask you, you might not know this. So this is the USPHL, so it's a junior hockey team. So is this hockey club that he's opening, is this for players that we could potentially see in the World Juniors, or is this for younger players that are still like working their way up to that junior level? Do you know? I'm not sure.
As long as there are no follow-up questions, I'm going to say sure. I think it is a developmental league that you could see players come through there. I think I was looking on the website the other night, and players will then go and sign for colleges or potentially professional teams from there. So it's definitely a developmental league.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was like the London Golden Knights or if it was like a tier underneath that, like an OHL. I don't know.
Maybe right around there or under. I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure. Ryan, can you let us know? Even though you're in Canada, you probably still know more than the two Americans.
I'm going to tweet him. See if he answers us during the show.
Well, because there's other teams that are named after their, like, minor league. I'm sorry, like an AHL or ECHL team or even an NHL team. You know, there's an Islanders one. There was a Tampa Bay had a team that was, you know, very similar logo. So there's a lot of affiliations there. Yeah. But while you're texting, Ryan, let's go down to South Carolina where the Stingrays went 0-0-2. So while they gained 2 points, the losing streak continues. They have fallen to fifth in the Eastern Conference with 24 points, 13 back of first place Indy. Now they'll try to turn their season around with 3 games against Florida starting tonight. Then they play Friday, followed up with their third in a row on Saturday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, so how's this sound? Hey, Ryan, recording What the Puck with Coach Dan right now. We got a question. The USPHL, is that a league that we could see players go to the World Juniors, or is it a tier under that age group? And tweet.
Cool.
We'll see what happens.
Did you tag me in that too?
I did.
I didn't get a notification. Oh, there it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will tell you when he responds.
All right, so does that mean... So now that we now have the Hershey Cubs coming up, I guess, next year, does that mean down on the farm will now have to be what's going on with the Bears, the Cubs, and the Stingrays? Are we going to have to cover the Cubs?
I
want to go to a game once, like, we're allowed to go to games again.
Watch, I'm going to see the Cubs win a game before I see the Bears win a game. I don't even know if they have a website.
I don't think they do.
Come on, guys. I want to buy a shirt. They have a Facebook page.
Yeah, they do.
That is a snazzy logo.
We're going to have to get
you
Bruce
already
Boudreau
liked
on the show.
It.
I did. Yeah, of course.
We're actually going to be talking about him in a minute, and it might not be as easy as one might think.
Dang it. All right.
Well. I mean, it's already. Oh, they do have a website. Maybe not. It didn't load.
All right. Well, go right, Bears.
There it is. Sorry. It was taking forever.
Does it look like a...
It looks like it would be... I think it's him and his wife run the team. Or, like, are the
right.
owners.
Yeah.
But either way. No, it seems... I don't know. It's cool. It's a nice website. It looks like it would be basically the Bears website to an extent.
All right. Well, cool. All right. Well, go Bears. Go Stingrays. And welcome to the club, Cubs. Thanks for coming. All right, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. There's plenty of stuff going on except for the Caps not winning games. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Montreal, where they announced that they have fired head coach Claude Julien and assistant coach Kirk Mueller. Assistant Dominique Ducharme was announced as the interim head coach, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Canadiens. Maybe they will hire Gerard Gallant, or maybe that dude will somehow still stay unemployed. The Lake Tahoe game between Philly and Boston was the most watched regular season hockey game in NBCSN history. Over 1 million viewers checked out the Bruins' rout of the Flyers. I believe it ended in a touchdown to a field goal.
Now, that game, did you see any of the Lake Tahoe games?
No, I had to work.
Oh my God, these games were gorgeous.
Or it was late, because the game on Saturday was like, all right, we're going to start at 1. Oh, wait, the sun's out. Never mind.
Yeah, sun's out, so now we're going to start at midnight Eastern time. Sorry about that, guys. It looked beautiful. I mean, I saw pictures, and
it looks amazing. If I'm the goalie, like, they showed the goalie's point of view at one point, and he's, like, looking out, and you see the lake and the mountains, I would just be like, oh, crap, they scored on me.
Right. I mean, if they could play all the games outside this year, that's what they should have done, is just had games outside in this picturesque area, because, God, I mean, this is what this year has been missing. I've been saying it since the beginning. I hate those empty arena games. I hate seeing all those tarps all over all the seats. Give me something outside. Give me the mountains, some waves. Give me something. Because it's just depressing watching these empty arena games. So these games were kind of fun to watch because it was kind of like you forgot that, oh, yeah, you know, there's no fans around. So it was a nice distraction.
So speaking of the empty arenas, I made this joke when watching a game to my wife. So, like, when the Caps score and Wes makes the announcement of, like, who scored, who's he talking to?
The players.
Nah, I'm pretty sure they know who scored.
I'm glad they're keeping him employed, but I also...
No,
like,
I am too.
Yeah,
and that's not his only job. He's a voiceover guy.
He's does very talented. He's in like,
yeah, he's video games, TV.
Got you a cameo.
A what?
He got you a cameo. Sent you a cameo.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I was on a TV show? but I was like, well, who are you talking to, man? Nobody there. Anyways... or like, it's like when they announce the, I guess that's announcing it for TV, so that's fine. But I was always like, there's no one there you're talking to, but whatever. It's fine. Going back to around the NHL, Vancouver forward Antoine Roussel was fined $5,000 for roughing Edmonton forward Jesse Puljujarvi. Let's see. This past Monday marks the anniversary of the Lake Placid Team USA victory over the Russians.
Yeah.
And the women winning gold at the Winter Olympics. While today, that being Wednesday, marks the anniversary of Team USA winning gold at the Winter Olympics. So that's pretty cool.
The Lake Placid win. That was that gold medal game.
Yep. And finally, I was talking about Brugiero before. He is apparently interested in the Seattle head coaching gig.
Oh, come on.
I know, we need to keep on the postgame show. He tells The Athletic, the thing about that job is it would be great to start with a team that is starting fresh and to be the builder of something. I mean, I could see the appeal. And Seattle apparently is a very nice city. But we definitely will be missing out on something.
Yeah, I mean, he's very smart when it comes to hockey. And for him to be the first guy in there, he doesn't have to worry about like building off of what somebody else has done. I think he would flourish in that. I mean, Bruce, he doesn't take anybody's crap. So like you give him a ragtag group like we saw in Vegas, a bunch of guys who were like, how dare they let me go? And how dare they not protect me? Bruce could definitely, you know, build off of that attitude. He's been there before.
He has that right now with Minnesota.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, that kind of would work. But we need a documentary crew to follow him around the entire time.
Yes, please. That would be amazing. But that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
So I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Islanders actually said that on March 18th, they're going to start allowing fans at a limited capacity. I think it's 15%.
I did not see that. Yeah, I think more and more places are trying to do it. As cases are going down, more people are getting vaccinated. It's still a bad idea.
I was looking forward to the month of March to see, like, where the Capitals are away, and it looks like they're for the away games, they're in Boston, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and then the New York Rangers, Madison Square Garden, is on the 30th. So I'm thinking probably the New York Rangers game on the 30th would potentially be the first time the Caps could see a live crowd, because I don't see Philadelphia opening it up. I don't see Boston opening up this quickly. Maybe Buffalo on the 15th, but even still, I don't know about that. Maybe. I feel like you need a lot of prep time to get fans back into the arena. But potentially, maybe March 30th could be the first time we see if they open up Madison Square Garden. That's a big if. I'm just saying. Because I don't know if you probably, you're not a, you, well, you were probably watching the Buffalo Bills Ravens game. The Ravens were not used to playing in front of crowds again, so there were a bunch of false starts that happened, like, one after the other after the other. And Bradley Bozeman, they, like, shot him, you know, as a close-up.
They
and
shot looks... him? That's terrible!
Yeah, they used a camera, and showed Bradley Bozeman on screen, and he looks over at Lamar and goes, I can't hear you. So the fans were a huge factor in that game. So I'm a little intrigued to see when the Capitals actually do get in front of live fans again, how that's going to affect their game. So I'm intrigued to see as fans are being let back in around the league, because I think 12 teams have fans right now, how that will affect the players on the ice.
It's definitely going to be weird at first. Even for us, like, listening at home, and you're like, whoa, that's actual real humans.
Right.
So, like I watch Arsenal, and they had a time where some fans were there, and you're like, that's real people.
Yeah, look at that. And they're together, like, in a group.
Yeah, they're live humans.
Like, I'm excited. I'm probably one of the only people that's excited, but The Walking Dead is coming back this Sunday.
Yeah. And
I know a lot of people have dropped off from that show, but I'm still an avid watcher.
Well, they're wrong.
But it's intriguing to me of how they film this, because, again, I'm a TV guy. I love the history of television. But they did 6 episodes, and it's little groups. It's not the entire cast. Like, it's 2 to 3 main actors, and then a couple other, you know, walkers around them. But the reason why they filmed them this way, these 6 episodes, is so they could get something out during COVID and still be safe and keep everybody, you know, 6 feet apart when they could. But they did these mini, like, they called them in-betweequels, which is a stupid name, because it's in between seasons 10 and 11. But that they adjusted, they figured it out, and they, you know, are going to get these shows on the air. But, you know, it'll be intriguing. Like, I don't like being reminded about COVID. Like, that real, I watch TV to escape it, and I hate being reminded about it going on. So, it's just, it's intriguing to me of how people have adjusted. Sports, television, all that good stuff. So, Coach Dan, is that the show? Are we done?
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, like how they suck. And do you mean? And that's the name of today's show. They suck. And yet somehow still in second.
We are not going to suck back to back.
That ain't true at the moment. But yeah. Then I'm also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, Bills, Washington Football Team, and how they have announced that they will stay as the football team for one more season. But they've got a website out about making a change, as well as people can actually go on and make recommendations, and they can submit their own artwork that they've created, which I know they're not necessarily going to, unless someone submits something amazing, they're not really going to go for it. But, like, as a community outreach, I actually think it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. You know?
There's a lot of great artists on Twitter that are always posting up, like, mock-ups of jerseys and stuff. So,
yeah,
you got some talent in your fan base. Use it.
If anything, if I'm, like, someone who owns a company that hires graphic designers, I'm going there and being like, let's see, swipe, who's got it, not like Tinder, but like I'm going through to see who's got something interesting, who's got some talent. Let me see if I can find out how to reach out to these guys and hire them. Or if I'm the Washington Football Team, am I hiring one of these guys to help create a logo? I don't know, but I don't know. It's kind of a fun thing. But yeah, somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show and are rambling, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you'll find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs. Do you feel like they should have had a different name? So it's not like two teams in Hershey?
No, I love it.
Like Hershey Bears, Hershey Cubs. I guess it makes sense. I don't know.
They're the younger Bears. Go for it.
They're smaller. But yeah. Some of that's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, if people have enjoyed this show and you already brought it up earlier, pause everybody. We have a live response from Ryan.
We have a tweet
going over to Brandon.
We got a tweet from Ryan. He's our Canadian hockey friend. He wrote back. So the question again was, is that the USPHL? Is that a league that we could see players go to the World Juniors, or is it a tier under that age group? Ryan wrote, possibly not directly from the league right now, but guys that play there are 16 to 17 year olds, could one day end up on higher end collegiate or junior programs. So it's essentially a tier 2 junior. So you're not going to see a bunch of players go, all right, well, we're going to go play for Team USA. They're going to go from the Cubs probably to a college team or into the NHL draft and then go somewhere else. So this is seeing players before they're anyone. There's a lot of there's a good chance they don't go anywhere, but there might be one or two gems.
I still want a t-shirt.
Yeah, me too. I'm for it.
There's also a team in Woodbridge, but I don't remember the name of them off the top of my head. I looked it up the other day and then forgot.
Good story.
But hey, if people have enjoyed this show and they want to listen to another show that you may have already mentioned on this show, if I could say show one more time, where should they go?
That's right. Anywhere you listen to What the Puck, you can listen to my Ravens podcast, The Call. We do shows about the Baltimore Ravens. We are waiting for the Ravens to do something. The NFL, I believe today has opened up the chance to make a franchise tag. You can use the franchise tag for certain players. So the Ravens might do that. We'll discuss that at some point when they actually do it. But you can listen to archived episodes of The Call and What the Puck wherever you download What the Puck right now. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's talk about the games until we talk again. We got a return game. The Pittsburgh Penguins stayed in D.C., and they are going to be hanging out and playing a game on Thursday, the 25th. And that game can be viewed at 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus and NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then on Saturday, the 27th, the Capitals travel up to Jersey, hanging out with the boss, Bruce Springsteen, on the 27th. And they're up against the Devils at 1 o'clock, and you can watch that nationally on the NHL Network or locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then back-to-back games, the Caps will play the Devils on Sunday at 3 o'clock. That game, again, in New Jersey, 3 o'clock. Watch it only locally here on NBC Sports Washington. So then we'll be back. We'll be back with a new show after those three. So we'll see what happens. But potentially, things to look out for. We might see Samsonov actually get a start for the Caps this year. Who knows? Hopefully we'll see a couple wins. We talked about how many wins, how many losses on last year. We're not going to do that this time around, because we're just going to see how things happen.
Hard pass.
We're going to let that play out. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Good evening, everyone. A quick disclaimer before we begin. As with everyone these days, no, I already screwed it up. Danes? The hell's a Dane? Anyways.